If you would, grab your Bibles, Acts chapter 27 tonight. I preached this message, I don't know when the last time was I preached it. I think it's been a while. But I can't seem to get this thought out of my head tonight, so if you remember it really well, I apologize. If it's real foggy in the back of your mind and you remember pieces of it, okay. But I think a bunch of you have never heard it, so I think I'm okay. I think it's been that long, but I could be wrong. So Acts chapter 27, and if you don't know what is happening in Acts chapter 27, you have Paul. He's been he was arrested. He was taken. He's appealed onto Caesar, and so they put him on a boat. Right? They're going to take him, and they're going to take him back to Rome, so he can go stand before Caesar and be judged there as a Roman citizen. And although he was a Jew, he was a Roman citizen, and so Paul is ultimately delivered over, and the centurion that goes ahead and holds on to him takes him with him on a ship, and they're going to get him back over to Rome. And in verse number 9, he says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, that the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and they let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said unto the centurion, and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the weed into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves onto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken and with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them for their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Well, this is one of the coolest stories in the Bible, I think. This is a cool story. This is amazing. So recap, right? The recap is Paul's standing there and waiting, and they're talking about getting on the boat, and he just goes, "This is a bad idea, gentlemen." Right? This is a bad idea. And the centurion has a choice. He can listen to the master. He can listen to Paul. He chooses the master. Why trust the prisoner? Trust the guy who owns the boat. And away they go. And of course it ends. And Paul gives them plenty of time before he stands up and finally says, "I told you so," right? They're in trouble. The storm has come. They're lighting the ship. They're throwing everything off. I'm going to get to some of this here in a minute again. But they are throwing everything off in hopes that they can keep alive and stay afloat and not sink to the bottom of the sea. That's what they're hoping. And they're just trying and trying and trying and trying. They try everything. And if it weren't for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, they never would have made it. And that's why this is such an amazing, amazing moment in the life of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at ultimately the idea of when the storms come for you. Everybody in the Bible, we're all deemed vessels throughout the Bible. Here they're on a ship, they're in a vessel. I use this repeatedly, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking of our bodies. The woman is the weaker vessel in 1 Peter chapter 3. Some are vessels of honor and some are vessels of dishonor in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But every vessel ends up going through storms. Every ship ends up getting tossed around for a while. Job says, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." He says that our days are full of trouble. We've got troubles. And if you don't have troubles, just wait, you'll have some. It rains on the just and the unjust. And without the grace and the mercy of God, no vessel will make it through a storm. It just won't happen. You say, "Yeah, but my trouble is worse than somebody else's trouble." Doesn't matter. You say, "Well, yeah, I got it worse over here than they do over there." Yeah, but you got it rougher in some spots and they got it rougher in others. Just how it is. You know, sometimes you can see the troubles that people have and other times you can't. We're really good at hiding our troubles. If you don't want anybody to know your troubles, you're pretty good at hiding it. Those closest to you may know, used to be Pastor Legault would come in and very few of us could look at him and say, "Hey, you're hurting today, aren't you, preacher? You okay?" I'm fine. But the reality is we knew, right? We knew the back was hurting. We knew the knee was hurting. We knew the neck was hurting. We knew something was wrong. I say, "What's he doing?" Just he's gonna play through the pain. He's gonna do it. And I love that he continuously did that. But we all have storms. Some are seen and some are unseen by others. Eventually, the outward man perishes, and eventually some storm will take us down. There will be a storm that we end up on heaven's bright shore instead of living to fight another day here on our ship. Eventually, that's just the course that happens. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We understand that Jesus Christ broke his vessel so that you and I could have salvation. The cross of Calvary and the broken vessel at Calvary's cross was the price that pays the debt of all of our sins. What a wonder it is. And one day you and I are going to end up just the same. Officially and finally broken and done. Maybe a trumpet will sound and God will just break all the vessels at the same time. We'll all just get to go home and get the new one. You never know. You just don't. But boy, there are certain things in this passage, and I've got to be quick. There are certain things in this passage that you find are different for the Apostle Paul and what he says versus what the mariners had thought about doing and what they tried. You know, the world has their own mentality. We heard a lot about that at Youth Ablaze and worldly wisdom, and we talk about that a lot, the difference between worldly wisdom and worldly decisions and worldly choices and carnal choices for the Christian's mind versus the spiritual and the right choices. And when the storms come in our lives, you and I are put under pressure. The pressure that comes and the struggle that comes is to find out whether when the pressure gets put on and the troubles come and the problems are there, how do you respond to the problems and the troubles that come? How do you respond when your Euroclydon comes down and starts beating on your vessel? Because the answer that Paul has is a whole lot different than the answer the mariners have. Trained God, these are sailors on a ship. They know the dangers. They understand how the sea works. They know that ship better than anybody else. They sail that vessel. They know what they're doing. And they look around and go, we know what we're doing. And the Apostle Paul goes, no, you don't. Because your wisdom's faulty. It's based upon what you know, not based upon what God has told you. And so we're going to look at how we should respond when Euroclydon comes for us. And so let's have a quick word of prayer, and I'll just give you four things tonight. Father, I do thank you once again, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy. Father, if it weren't for your mercies, we'd all be consumed. I thank you that you're good to us, and Father, you're gracious to us, and I thank you once again for a book we can turn to and get the wisdom and the knowledge of God handed to us so that we can go ahead and live a life that is pleasing to you, but it's also a life more abundant for us. And Father, we pray you would bless your word tonight as it's preached. I thank you once again, Father, for being such an amazing God to us. We love you, and I pray you'd be praised tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing I want you to see is to remember this. Excuse me. We have a better master. Here he turns to the master, verse 10. He turns, Paul says, hey, you know, there's going to be problems. Don't do it. Don't leave. In verse 11, the centurion believes the master and the owner of the ship. More than those things which were spoken by Paul. You know, God sometimes, you know what his statement is? Just don't go that direction. You know, some storms are avoidable. We'll all get storms, and some storms are completely unavoidable. But some storms are avoidable. This storm right here that they're going to go into was avoidable. If they would have listened early, they wouldn't have gotten the storm. Our master doesn't want us to go into unnecessary storms. Now, I'll reference back. I won't turn to all these places, but you go back into Mark chapter 4. He tells his disciples, get in a boat, go across the Sea of Galilee, and puts them directly into a storm. He does it on purpose. He did it repeatedly to the disciples. He put them in the place where they had to cross the Sea of Galilee, and they were always going into this storm and this storm and this, so they could learn a lesson. Some storms are exactly that. There, God wants you to get a lesson. He wants you to learn. He wants to teach you something in the storm. But other storms are storms that we should have just avoided. You're going to have it one or the other. Our master warns you of the storm if it's avoidable. Boy, isn't that nice? Don't you look back at your life and go, man, I could have missed out on some storms. I brought that trouble on me. If I would have been paying attention, I wouldn't have done that. The Lord was already telling me not to do that. Or the Lord was telling me go over there, so I would have avoided it. I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been in this position. And God's constantly trying to keep us out of that, out of the path of a storm. But sometimes He wants you in the storms. And when that happens, know this, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. So yeah, but I didn't. Okay. Verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Why? Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, who as I am and whom I serve. You say, what happens when I go into a storm? He still will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Whether it's a storm you can't avoid or it's a storm you should have avoided, you still have the Master with you. He's still there. He hasn't left. He hasn't walked away. He hasn't abandoned you. He is waiting for a wonderful time to go ahead and show you what He's got planned. And right here, He goes ahead and shows the Apostle Paul exactly what He's got planned. There stood by me the angel of God, whom I... whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul. I have a plan for you, Paul, so this storm can't take you out. You know, if there's a storm that's supposed to take you out, that's fine. But sometimes there's a storm you go into and you think you won't get out. And God says, no, I got something down the road. Amazingly enough, every storm you've made it through is because He's had something on the other side. Whether you recognize it or not, He has a plan greater than just one storm. And here He is again saying, hey, you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you through the storms. Not only do we have a better Master, we have a better hope. You know, these guys, they sit here and they're throwing all the tackling off. Look at this. Their hope is that they're going to make it over. Verse 13, they thought they were going to get their purpose. And then they said, well, you know, in verse 16, if we run under this certain island, well, we could go ahead and fix it now. Verse 17, they start wrapping the ship, right? They start undergirding the ship. That means they're taking ultimately ropes and they're getting it around. They're girding the ship together. They're holding the boards together so the ship doesn't come flying apart and get them sinking. So they're patching this place up and they're doing everything they can to make it so the boat doesn't just crumble underneath them and break in the storm. And on top of that, they go ahead and they lighten the ship and they do all sorts of things. They go ahead and they strake sail. They undergird the ship, and then they go ahead, they strake sail. The tempest is still coming, so they decide they're going to throw things overboard. They do all sorts of stuff to try and keep themselves alive. They wish for the day. They're just hoping. They're doing everything they can to gain any hope that they could survive. They're doing everything that they know to do, and nothing's working. I mean, it's so bad for them. They literally take their own hands, rip the tackling out of the ship and throw it out. That's bad. You know it's bad when you go, we don't even need to control the ship. We just need to live. They're ripping everything that would keep the ship going in the direction they want it to go. They just ripped it all out, threw it overboard. Weighs too much. Get rid of it. That's, you know you're in a bad mess when you decide, I don't even have control anymore. Sometimes in the storms, you know what you find? You find out you're not the one in control. And if you would have heeded to the Master in the first place, you wouldn't be so out of control. But sometimes you go in and it's simply so that you can understand that He's the one who is in control. He says in verse number 24, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You know what? You know what the storm does? Their hope is, what can I do to fix it? And your hope is, I believe God, and if He wants me to live, I'll live. And if He doesn't, then I'm home with Him. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Whatever happens, hey, you know what the greatest hope we have is? If I get another day here, I have another day to serve Him. And if He calls me home, I'm home with Him. What difference did that make? It's better or even better. That's what you've got. Those are the only two options a Christian has. We fear the storms oftentimes because we think, well, you know, if this goes wrong, it could go real badly. Yeah, but if you're still breathing, you're all right. And if you're not breathing, you're even better. That's what's amazing about being a Christian. What's amazing about being a Christian is, if the storm takes you, you win. There's no loss. But either way, it's, what does God say? Would you believe Him? The cause of the storm is for you to hope thou in God. Isn't that the distress of the psalmist? And he says, oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted with him? Hope thou in God. Hope that, see, it turns your hope. The storm came, and you know what it did? It changed your hope to Him instead of you. Yeah. Oftentimes, our hope is in me. Our hope is in my wisdom and my understanding and my thoughts and my feelings and my way. And our way is messed up. And God says, no, hope in me. God will use the hopes to go ahead and give you a better hope. He'll use the storms, I'm sorry, to give you a better hope. And everybody else on the ship is losing hope, and Paul is giving hope. When all hope is lost, you know what you have? You have a hope nobody else has. That's the confidence. I believe God. That seems rather arrogant. No, it seems rather confident, because He's never failed me. And He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never, ever come up short on His promises. So when the storm comes, you still have a better hope, because you can hope thou in God. Not only that, we have a better peace. You know, these guys, they're afraid, so they drop anchor. I'm really rushing this message, in case you're wondering, all right? They're dropping anchors out the back. They're trying to stop the ship from hitting shore. They know they're going to bust up if they hit anything. So they're doing their best to lock this thing down and make it so it doesn't move anywhere. So they're dropping anchors. And now it's been 14 days. They're fasting for 14 days. They're so sick they can't eat. They're so worried they can't eat. They aren't thinking about food. They're thinking, how am I not going to die? But their peace is non-existent until Paul starts speaking again. I mean, they're so hopeless that the guys have gone ahead and they tried to sneak out and hop into the life rafts. That's what those guys were doing. They made like they were supposed to go to the front and drop the anchors in the front of the ship. And instead, they were hopping on the lifeboats. They're like, we're getting out of here, man. Forget this. And Paul's like, you gotta stop them, because they're going to die. So you should just stop them and bring them back with the rest of us. We'll be fine if we're all together. And so they do. Could you imagine? The life rafts are now cut off the ship. That's what they, right? They cut the ropes and boom, down they go. I'm like, so we can't hold the ship together. We've ripped the tackling out of the ship. We've thrown everything practically overboard. And you just dropped the life rafts off the side. Like, we didn't need those ever. This is a dumb plan. All right, here we are. What are we doing? And Paul says, you have too many life rafts. You know, Christian, you and I have too many life rafts. The trouble comes, so you turn to a credit card. You go get a loan. You go find your parents. You go get a friend. You go do this and you go do that and you go find this and you go find that. And if you don't like that answer, you just go get another one until you get the life raft that you want, and then you hop in there and then you go away. And you act like it's got you out of the storm, when in reality, all it is delayed your consequences for the storm. Because no matter what, you haven't learned one thing. Your peace is in the vessel where God told you to be. Your peace is not found in the lifeboat jumping off the side. And no matter what that emergency exit is you keep trying to pull to get out of God's will, to go ahead and have some peace that's not real peace. I don't know what it is, but that's the world's peace. The world's peace takes you from where you actually have safety, even though it looks like a storm. Your confidence is in what you can do to get out of it, so you get out of it. And God says, that's not the peace I give. The peace I give is not conditional upon your circumstances. The peace that I give is conditional on your trust in me. Your belief that, guess what? God's got the answer. And Paul stands up and goes, hey, you guys haven't eaten in 14 days. How about you have a bite to eat? Because we're about to get off the boat. And one of the greatest miracles that is not talked about. Either Paul's lying or he is serious. In verse 34. He says, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. There are, verse 37, 276 souls. And not one of them is going to lose a hair off their head till he puts them on shore. Now you could say that's hyperbole and that's exaggeration. I think that's part of God's miracle right here. One of the most amazing, you lost hair walking in the building. Unless you're Brother Thomas. Then you lost all of it years ago. I mean, we shed it. In good, normal circumstances, we shed it. You take a shower, I'm not going to talk about your shower drain. But you get into the middle of a storm that is ripping apart a ship, you don't think that the wind and the rain and the waves and the destruction, you don't think hair should be flying off everybody at that point, right? You don't think they're going to lose a couple hairs? The Lord says, I'm not even going to let one hair fall out of your head. I'm going to put you on shore before you get done. That's an amazing promise. I'll tell you what, if the Lord told you that, number one, if you believed him, you got a whole lot of confidence you're going to be fine. Because if one hair is not moving, man, am I good. I am safe as ever. And when your hope turns to that, your peace passes all understanding. These guys start to take meat and they get of good cheer. Verse 36, then were they all of good cheer. By the way, you eat the right things from God, you know what you'll have? Good cheer. Some of you are miserable because you don't read what you ought to read. Or you're taking in too much of Fox News. But anyways, I know we got a better president right now, but that doesn't mean you switch back over to what you used to do watching Fox News 24 hours a day. All right, gentlemen? Anyways, moving on. I'm going to move on. I'm already late. I want to finish. Because I'm going to finish with this. We have a better master. We have a better hope. We have a better peace. And we by far have a better ending than anybody else. You and I can't get a better ending. And it doesn't matter if you go ahead and swim to shore. It doesn't matter if you got to come in on a board and just struggle your way through and barely make it to the edge. You and I get to walk heaven's bright shore one day because of a wonderful master who has saved us and kept us from all trouble. Troubles that we have, yeah, we've got troubles and we've got problems, but they pale in comparison to the glory that'll be revealed in us. The tribulations and the troubles and the problems, they equate to virtually nothing when you stand before a wonderful God who has saved you and paid the price of all of your sins. When the storms come, we no longer should be looking at the storm and the problems and the troubles and the trials, just like Peter looking around at the storms caused him to sink. You and I looking around at the storm is going to cause us all the issues. Instead, we need to look back to our Master, remember that we have a better hope because of Him. Remember that our peace is based upon Him and the peace and the protection and the promises that He has provided. It is all about that, knowing that regardless of life or death at the end of our trial, we have a better ending. That our ending is going to be a win regardless of how the outcome is for the storm. Whether our vessel is broken and we show up on pieces of board, or whether we survive and we go ahead and keep rolling on to the next, it doesn't make a difference, because it's all because of God's amazing grace. We have had a lot of storms of late. I don't know how many surgeries we've had, cancer reports, all sorts. It has been a crazy time. You know what I couldn't get out of this spot right here. That the storms of life can weigh heavy, and they can beat upon the ship. But our goal, our end, is to keep our focus on the prize, because He's the one who gets us through all the storms. Father, I thank You for the night. I pray You would bless us as we go. I thank You that You're a wonderful God. And Father, no matter what storm has come, You already knew the storm would be there. And You already know the way through the storm. Father, You know what's going to happen to us in the storm. You know the provisions we need through the storm. Father, You're our hope, our peace, our joy, our confidence. I pray You would bless us tonight. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good night. Sorry I ran a little over.